WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, including exclusive live events and interviews with top executives and newsmakers, only for subscribers and only on Spotify.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, July 3rd. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Europe launched a new space telescope over the weekend. It's the first ever space telescope designed to investigate the dark universe, giving scientists a glimpse into 95% of the universe we haven't been able to study. On today's show, our science reporter, Eileen Woodward, will tell us more about the telescope, its journey, and what it'll look for while floating in space. But first, Twitter has begun limiting how many posts users can read on its platform. Owner Elon Musk said Saturday that the change is temporary. Initially, unverified accounts were limited to reading just 600 posts a day, and verified accounts could read 6,000 posts daily. Musk later increased those figures. He tweeted that the move is to fight companies trying to use its data for developing artificial intelligence programs. The latest deal to catch the eye of Britain's top competition regulator, Adobe's proposed $20 billion acquisition for Figma, a collaboration software maker. The UK's Competition and Markets Authority said Friday the deal could reduce innovation and lead to higher costs for companies that rely on Figma's and Adobe's digital tools. The regulator has given Adobe 5 business days to submit proposals addressing its concerns or face further investigation. An Adobe spokesman said the deal would bring significant value to customers by making product design more accessible and efficient. In an email, Figma said the two companies can deliver far more value together than either company could deliver on its own. Earlier this year, the UK regulator rejected Microsoft's proposed $75 billion acquisition of gaming giant Activision Blizzard, which Microsoft is appealing. The race is on to build a better air conditioner. Current AC units, while they help cool people down, they also make the world hotter. Now, a slew of startups are looking to break that cycle, especially as government dollars are on the table, like tax credits and rebates for high-efficiency products under the US Inflation Reduction Act. Most of the startups are targeting humidity instead of heat. One such company is Blue Frontier. Our climate finance reporter, Amrith Ramkumar, has looked into them, and he joins me now. Amrith, can you tell us about the startup and what it's trying to do?
Blue Frontier is a Florida startup that's trying to separate dehumidification from cooling in the air conditioning process. They're basically trying to use new liquid salt solution that absorbs water to really quickly remove humidity from the air, and then that makes everything easier because you just focus on cooling after that. They say a weakness is that most regular air conditioners need to overcool the air to remove humidity. They have to basically turn water vapor into liquid water after it's cooled down and then drain that. So that's why it's often freezing when an air conditioner is running on full blast, and that consumes a lot of power. They're really trying to get at that core problem.
And why do we need these high efficiency ACs in the first place?
Yeah, the main drawback of conventional air conditioners is that they become less efficient the hotter and more humid it gets. And then they make it more hot and humid by guzzling a lot of electricity from fossil fuels. So startups like Blue Frontier and others are really trying to crack that code because we're going to have billions of air conditioners in countries like India added to the total global count in the coming years and decades. And if those units are cheap, inefficient ACs, there's no way we can meet our climate goals. So they are really trying to tackle that problem head on. And the biggest AC manufacturers like Carrier Global, Trane Technologies, Daikin, they are offering more efficient versions of conventional ACs that can help. And they're also evaluating a number of these new approaches as well.
All right, that was our climate finance reporter, Amrith Ramkumar. Coming up, Europe's new space telescope blasted off over the weekend, and it'll help uncover a great deal of the universe that still remains a mystery. That's after the break.
Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
Only 5% of the universe is made up of matter that we can see. That means there's an invisible 95% that scientists still don't really know much about. That part is referred to as the dark universe. Now, the European Space Agency hopes to change that.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Over the weekend, the agency launched a new, first-of-its-kind telescope into space. Named after an ancient geometrician, the Euclid Space Telescope was built to study dark matter and dark energy. Here to tell us more about this telescope is WSJ science reporter Eileen Woodward. Eileen, tell us more about this telescope. What exactly makes it so special?
So, unlike NASA's James Webb Space Telescope, which launched in December of 2021, Webb is designed to look very, very closely at individual cosmic structures, like very, very deeply at one thing. Imagine hyperzoom on a camera. The way Euclid is designed is Euclid is a survey telescope. So you're thinking like wide view. Think of a panorama, but except instead of the edges of the panorama being blurred and out of focus, the entire wide image is in focus. So Euclid is designed to take in huge swaths of the sky at the same time. In fact, NASA currently has a Hubble Space Telescope orbiting Earth, and Hubble tries to do the same thing that Euclid is going to do, except Euclid can get done in 6 years what it would take Hubble 1,000 years to do, according to some mission scientists. And that's what makes Euclid so special, is that it's going to be able to observe billions of galaxies. And by increasing sort of the galaxy sample size, it helps scientists utilize observations from those galaxies to understand more of what's going on in our universe.
What kind of technology is in Euclid that allows it to do these things like take that big panoramic picture?
So Euclid's goal is to use some of the biggest cameras ever sent into space. And Euclid's trying to sort of create the largest three-dimensional map ever. And it's going to be taking in 36% of the sky, which is absolutely wild. And some of the billions of galaxies that it's seeing are as far away as 10 billion light years. And the way they sort of are hoping to achieve these scientific objectives is that Euclid has both an optical camera and then a near-infrared instrument. And those two instruments are working in tandem to create these images. And then each of those images is going to have a 600 million pixel resolution. So that's like more than 12 times larger than anything produced by like the highest resolution Apple iPhone. And so that's a lot of data.
Real quick, can you explain to us what dark matter is and what dark energy is?
Dark matter takes up most of the mass in the universe, and it's sort of what is holding everything together. It's what allows matter to clump in the form of galaxies and things like that. So dark matter is sort of this great puller together. And then dark energy is almost its opposite. Dark energy is what's pushing things apart in our universe. And it's actually what scientists think is responsible for our universe expanding at a rate that's accelerating. So our universe, since its birth during the Big Bang, like 14 billion years ago, roughly, has been expanding. But roughly 6 billion years ago, that rate of expansion sped up. And scientists aren't sure why. And they think right now that it has something to do with the increasing effect of dark energy on the universe, but they're not sure. And so by studying dark energy and dark matter, it's going to basically help determine the fate of the universe, which sounds like an overstatement, but is assuredly isn't, according to many experts.
Okay, to dive a little deeper here. So we're looking at these galaxies. How does that help us study dark matter?
So dark matter doesn't emit or absorb light, so you can't detect it using traditional telescopes. The only way you can study it is indirectly, by observing the effects of dark matter's gravity on other objects in the universe. And so for each of those billions of galaxies that Euclid is looking at, scientists are able to sort of see how the light and shape of the galaxy gets distorted by the dark matter between that galaxy and Euclid. And because the sample size is so high, because there are so many of these galaxies that Euclid will be looking at, they're able to suss out the pattern, the amount and distribution of the intervening dark matter. And then by better understanding that distribution, scientists can understand sort of how the universe is expanding over time. And that should give them more insights into dark energy and dark energy's effects. scientists, like, their best theory right now is that due to dark energy, the universe will keep expanding faster and faster and faster until the point where everything in the universe dies a lonely death many billions of years into the future, like very far apart from each other. But if data from Euclid reveals that our understanding of dark matter and dark energy is incorrect, and maybe dark energy is a little bit stronger than we think, the future of the universe could be that one day galaxies get ripped apart, stars get ripped apart, planets get ripped apart, even atoms get ripped apart. And that's sort of the ultimate fate of our cosmos.
Okay, so the telescope launched over the weekend. Where is it headed and how long will it take for it to get there?
So Euclid's going to make a 30-day journey to an orbital perch about 1 million miles from Earth. It's actually going to the same sort of orbital point in space that James Webb is at right now. And at that point, it's going to be orbiting the sun once a year, sort of in lockstep with Earth.
And how will this telescope work with James Webb?
NASA's James Webb telescope, again, was designed to look very deeply at individual things in the universe. And so the way these two telescopes can work in tandem is Euclid's able to look at, again, a really broad swath of the sky. And so it's able to spot things that are rare. And so if Euclid spots something weird, scientists can flag that and then go to the mission operators at Webb and say, hey, can you look more closely at this thing that we think is rare and odd and we want to understand better?
All right, that was our science reporter, Aileen Woodward. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. A quick programming note, we'll be off tomorrow for the holiday, but we will be back on Wednesday with more tech news. And as always, if you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.